T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. 3 Sedgwick County jail deputies assaulted and injured by 2 inmates. We've got the story.
Police make an arrest at a fatal shooting at Wichita's McAdams Park. I'm Dan O'Neill.
An employee died after inhaling toxic fumes at a restaurant near Boston. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. Temperatures will continue to be on a wild ride, gradually warming up today and even more so tomorrow. But a strong cold front is poised to move in by the end of the weekend. Our complete forecast is next.
A senior State Department official says President Trump wanted a public announcement from Ukraine about investigations of political rivals.
Deputy Assistant Secretary of State George Kent told House investigators President Trump wanted Ukraine's president to go to a microphone and say the words investigation, Biden, and Clinton. In a closed-door deposition last month, Kent explained Clinton was shorthand for the 2016 election. He also said he was told to lay low on Ukraine, as President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, played a large role and led a smear campaign against former Ambassador Marie Ivanovich. Republicans say Kent did not offer direct knowledge, however, that investigations were tied to security assistance withheld over the summer. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Police say they have made an arrest in a shooting that killed a teenager at Wichita's McAdams Park. The 18-year-old suspect was taken into custody on suspicion of second-degree murder and outstanding warrants.
15-year-old Marion Wheaton died from his injuries following the shooting that happened around 6 Wednesday night. Police say Wheaton and 2 teenage friends walked to the area to meet with some other individuals.
We know this was over social media. We believe there was at least 2 individuals that had an argument, and we're going to the park to fight.
Police Captain Brett Allward says that's when a vehicle pulled up and 2 people got out, firing shots into the group. City Councilman Brandon Johnson tells KSN News he's concerned about families in the neighborhood.
We all have conflicts. We all have issues. We all get irritated, but that doesn't mean pick up a gun and use it.
The case will now be presented to the Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
3 Sedgwick County Sheriff's deputies are recovering after being assaulted by inmates in the county jail. The sheriff's office says in 2 separate incidents, William Farmer and Dwayne Anderson assaulted the deputies. Both are now facing multiple charges. 1 deputy suffered minor injuries, but another suffered a broken hand. 1/3 had a broken ankle. The cases against the inmates will be presented to the district attorney's office.
A Wichita prosecutor says a commission that screens applicants for the Kansas Supreme Court did not violate the state's open meetings law in choosing 3 finalists for a vacancy.
Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett said Thursday that the nominating commission took a final vote during a public meeting in October with a unanimous show of hands. He says other votes by paper ballot to narrow a list of 19 candidates to 3 for Governor Laura Kelly to consider were not binding actions. Senate President Susan Weigel filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office this week over the paper ballots, arguing that not announcing the results of each vote violated the Open Meetings Act. Weigel's office says it's preparing a response to the decision. Dave Wilson, KNSS News.
A Massachusetts Buffalo Wild Wings employee died and at least 10 people were hospitalized after inhaling toxic fumes inside the restaurant. This was near Boston.
Signs and symptoms of those patients were difficulty in breathing, runny and watery eyes, and shortness of breath.
Burlington Interim Fire Chief Michael Patterson. Buffalo Wild Wings statement says the company shocked and saddened and working with the franchisee and authorities.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says more than 2,000 people have been diagnosed now with vaping illness in the U.S.
2,051 people have gotten sick, and 40 people in 24 states have died from the illness linked to using e-cigarettes. The outbreak appears to have started in March. No single ingredient or vaping device has been linked to the illnesses. Most who got sick said they used products containing THC, the high-inducing ingredient in marijuana. Health officials are urging people to avoid vaping, especially products that contain THC. Lisa LaSera, Fox News.
Kansas officials have issued a new and more optimistic fiscal forecast, boosting the state's projected tax collections by $510 million over two budget years. The forecast, issued Thursday, eases the budget picture as Democrat Governor Laura Kelly prepares to push to expand the state's Medicaid health coverage for the needy. But the better numbers are also likely to intensify an effort by Republicans in the GOP-controlled legislature to cut taxes. KNSS News, I'm now 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Just about 10 minutes away from our Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtus, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in just a few minutes.
Man in South Carolina got a little something extra with his fast food order. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on a Friday morning. 52-year-old Ty Tabing is the new president and CEO of Wichita Festivals, Inc. A Wichita native, Tabing tells KNSS News he's excited about what's going on in Wichita right now.
The riverfront development, the ballpark, the future of Century 2 being decided, NASCAR Park. So I think there will be some great opportunities for festivals to be involved in some of those developments.
Tabing replaces Mary Beth Jarvis, who served as festivals boss for 7 years.
A man in South Carolina got a little something extra with his fast food order.
A guy named Parrish Brown was in the McDonald's on Hilton Head Island and wanted some sweet tea with light ice and extra lemon. Brown says he's never tried marijuana before, but for some reason he was high as a kite. Well, he looked at the tea in the cup and noticed 3 bags of weed in there. Now he believes extra lemon and really meant hook me up with some green. He said the weird part was he didn't pay any extra for the tea. Now the Beaufort County Sheriff's Department is investigating. John Saucier, Fox News.
A Republican lawmaker from Oklahoma has abandoned his effort to rename a stretch of Route 66 after President Donald Trump. State Senator Nathan Dahm told the Tulsa World he's done trying to rename the 4-mile span of the historic highway in northeastern Oklahoma after Trump. The Oklahoma Route 66 Association and Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell both swiftly rejected naming sections of Route 66 after Trump or any other political figure.
Top honors for some childhood favorites.
My Little Pony, The Game of Risk, and Care Bears will have to wait their turn. That's because Matchbox Cars, The Coloring Book, and the card game Magic the Gathering are the latest inductees to the National Toy Hall of Fame. Despite debuting years ago, all can still be found on store shelves today. For a toy to earn Hall of Fame status, it must be innovative, widely recognized, and foster creativity or discovery through play. The National Toy Hall of Fame is in the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York. Rich Dennison, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We've got a traffic accident now. You're going to want to avoid this area if you can. Expect a slowdown otherwise. It's eastbound Kellogg at Hillside. A traffic accident there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. A chilly start to the day in Wichita, but it's not going to be as cool as yesterday. Sunny and breezy with a high 48. It'll be clear and not as cold tonight. Our low 34, and then sunny and warmer on Saturday. Our high near 70. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, southeast wind at 6 miles per hour, and 20 degrees. Been down to 17, I think, has probably been our low overnight, Ted. 20 degrees right now. Police say 40,000 pounds of tortillas littered a Pennsylvania road when a tractor trailer hit another truck
then
a car before toppling over. Crash occurred Wednesday near Minersville when one truck hauling the tortillas took a curve too fast, slid into another truck. It then hit a car that was behind the truck it first hit. And that's when the tortilla truck fell over. Authorities say that stretch of road is dangerous for trucks, and there's a sign warning drivers about it. Driver of the car, the driver of the second truck, and a passenger were treated for minor injuries. Every day, we've got a story about something, a truck turning over, and something spilling out.
I don't want a salsa truck.
Tortillas. It could be cows. Something tipping over. Because he's going too fast.
Going too fast, yeah, for the turn.
Yeah. So, you truck drivers, you be careful out there, okay? I just want to talk about the cat who's made so much. He made all the video on Monday night. The elusive black cat from Monday Night Football. Still on the run, Ted.
Really? They never captured it?
No. MetLife Stadium officials say search for the fleet feline that briefly delayed the nationally televised game between the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys Monday night has been unsuccessful. They haven't found the cat. Search started Tuesday morning with multiple humane traps being stationed in the stadium. After that, after they came up empty, stadium officials asked a trap, neuter, release, and no-kill shelter for help. So far, no luck. How about that?
Apparently, there's quite a lot of feral cats in that area around the stadium. So that's one of the employees was saying. And it's kind of out in the middle of the country anyway. So,
well, you know, keep the mouse population down, I suppose, right? 8:13 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. It's that week when we talk about toys a lot because we're all basically children all of our lives and we remember and cherish our toys. And did you have we're talking about the three toys that went in the Hall of Fame, the Matchbox cars and Magic, the Gathering, and the coloring book. Do you have a favorite toy when you were a kid? I don't think I've asked you that. But
see, I don't know. Toys weren't ever. I would gravitate more towards like wiffle ball. If you're going to consider that a toy,
football, a basketball,
a Nerf football, like that.
Wiffle balls have made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
area.
Okay. Who didn't grow up playing wiffle ball? Man, love that.
Board games. That was more my speed, more than toys themselves.
Yeah. All right. I don't think I had a favorite because I had three brothers, and any toy I got was broken within three minutes. So we didn't retain toys very well. All right. I'm not going to stop toying with you now. We're going to talk to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Ted, go ahead, sir.
Chiefs on the road heading to Nashville on Sunday to take on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
The Chiefs still unbeaten on the road this season. Would love to keep that string going. Let's welcome our special guest on Friday mornings, as always, Mitch Holthus, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Theodore. Steve didn't have any toys. He just chewed on lead-based paint all his life. So. Oh,
that was lunch.
Young. Was it kind of crunchy?
Yeah.
How were the leftovers?
Really good.
Red lead paint again? Come on, Mom. doing well, gentlemen. What an exhilarating victory over the Vikings. Particularly, that's a really good Viking team.
Yeah.
And to beat them without six starters and without Pat Mahomes and to win it like that against them, to go 6-3, this team has lost 137 quarters, missed man hours from starting players, the equivalent of a game and a half, and yet the Chiefs are 6-3 and as Ted, you so eloquently put, try to stay undefeated on the road.
One of the big questions constantly, how is Patrick Mahomes doing and will he play on Sunday?
You know, it's really interesting. I had to talk to Greg Reno this week of American Ag Credit. We know, and actually he didn't answer the phone. Kelly did. She had just got done choring. And I said, hey, Kelly, she goes, is Mahomes going to play? Didn't even say, what's going on? Gosh, this weather's nice. It's like, hi, Kelly. Yes, Mahomes going to play? And it's the constant question I get without even any greeting anymore. It's just, he's had a lot of reps this week on Wednesday. On Thursday, they continue to monitor every day because they're testing as much as they can without inviting some other team to come in and play him and say, you know, kid doesn't work. It is still up for grabs. I don't know if Coach will make a decision announcement today or not. I don't know if he will. But I would say this. I've said now for 3 weeks, ahead of schedule has been an accurate response to every time I get asked that question. And I would say as of 8:15 on a Friday morning, I would say very ahead of schedule at this point. That doesn't mean he's going to play, but I would tell you very ahead of schedule.
And you've alluded as well to the other injuries, or the Chiefs have been trying to plug gaps the last several weeks.
Could get most of them back. The only two I think that are in doubt would be defensive end Alex Okafor and offensive tackle Eric Fisher, who's been out since the first series of the Oakland game, second game of the year. It's interesting. If Mahomes does play, it will be the first time the offensive skill positions, the weapons, so to speak, will have been together since the ninth snap of the season against Jacksonville. You have a chance against Tennessee to have Tyreek Hill, who was phenomenal in that game against Minnesota, Sammy Watkins, McCole Hardman, Byron Pringle, Travis Kelce, all the running backs, and you know, if Mahomes plays, you've got them all, the band's back together for the first time really since the third series of the season. Now, the offensive line a little chopped up, but if you get all those, the fireworks stand might be full of fireworks this week. Let's put it that way.
I was just watching Tyreek Hill the other day. I'm thinking about every fourth play, I think I would call, just go for it, buddy, and I'm going to throw the ball as far as I can, and you're going to get there because that guy can, he can go.
Hold that thought, Steve. Hold that thought. Ted, hold my beer. Steve, hold that thought. Don't think that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
Tyreek Hill has been, I said phenomenal. I don't even know what else adjective to put. In the absence of Mahomes and with him on the field, Tyreek, I mean, he is the catch he made 2 weeks ago, but then against Minnesota, just lay out for the ball. It's not just his speed, Steve. We keep talking about his route running ability. He is strong. He's like a national champion wrestler. And then his ability to track the football. But what will be lost this season in discussion will be the 10 yards he picked up after the catch against Minnesota.
Yep.
Butker's game-winning 44-yard field goal would have been 54 had it not have been the great effort by Tyreek Hill.
Right, right.
Of course, we had the Super Bowl I rematch against the Packers, the Super Bowl IV rematch with the Vikings, and in this game, you've got the AFL Championship game rematch from 1962 with the Chiefs and the Oilers.
I was, you know, I was tempted to go with that game for my PLOPA report because the key figure in that game was Adner Haynes, who said, kick to the clock, he blew it. They went to overtime, the AFL Championship. The wind was howling. It was blowing in one way. So what happened to start the overtime, the Chiefs had to kick off into the wind.
Ugh.
I mean, Hank Stram, I think, was having an aneurysm because Adner Haynes blew it. And then Adner Haynes, it was 60 years ago, this month that he had one of his biggest days as a University of North Texas running back against the Shockers. But anyway, the kick to the clock worked. The Chiefs defense held and they played a full quarter, and then the Chiefs got the wind and was able to get a Tommy Brooker field goal. But yes, these two teams, the Titans, were the Houston Oilers before they became the Titans, and they had some epic battles against the old Dallas Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, what's the key to beating the Titans?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Now, you remember, Steve, were you the big kid that matured early in eighth grade?
No, no.
No. Okay, you weren't that kid.
Nope.
I know you aren't, Ted, nor was I. Remember the eighth grade kid? We all have him. We played Belleville. His kid's name was Kevin Calkins, and he's big, and he's kind of, you know, you got some acne going on and facial hair, and he's got a beard, and he's got hair under his arms.
He's a Neanderthal.
You know, they mature early, right? They look the same when they're a senior. Like, weren't you the guy in eighth grade that was like this giant? And then everybody jumps on him. They give him the ball every time. And you jump on him, you grab his leg, and like you're trying to, the Lilliputians trying to get down the giant. That's Derrick Henry, the Tennessee Titans. Ted, you ask, how do you beat the Tennessee Titans? It is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
248-pound Heisman Trophy winning running back, University of Alabama. Chiefs have lost to these guys the last two times in excruciating fashion. A 2016 upset to a 12-4 Chiefs team. Derrick Henry controlled the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the terrible loss in the playoffs in 17, where Derrick Henry took over in the second half. Jeff Triplett had that bad no call, but don't talk about that because my therapy is going better.
Good. Yeah.
The Chiefs going to Nashville to take on the Titans Sunday. Mm-hmm. Pregame coverage with Mitch Holtis and the broadcast crew at 11 a.m. Sunday. Kickoff at noon right here on your radio home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Mitch Holtis, I must ask you, how does this matchup in Nashville on Sunday somehow relate to Wichita State Shocker football as part of our Eddie Plapa, Kansas City Chiefs Shocker football update?
Now, Theodore and Stephen, this is so obvious, you may have to take two palms of your hand, slap them against your forehead, and do that with all of our great physicians who have appointment listening to this segment led by our leader, Dr. Maharis. All right. It took almost eight years. You realize that it took almost 8 years? Took almost 8 years.
For
Monday coming up as well. Here we go. Monday's coming up is Veterans Day.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was 1 month, 1 day short of 1 month after Pearl Harbor. And the University of Wichita students, no, I'm sorry, 1 year to 1 month prior to Pearl Harbor,
prior,
even
yeah.
January 1941,
yeah.
UW students decide, hey, we're going to, the old field, football field was by Henron Gymnasium. By mm-hmm. There was an airfield, actually. Did you guys know that? Yeah. There's an airfield right there that's set just east of Henron Gymnasium and the University of Wichita field. Anyway, they decided, let's go dig a hole in the north end of campus up on 21st Street, and dug a hole and actually got started on a stadium but had to stop because of the start of World War II. An iron shortage. So only part of the stands were done. But then, as they kind of pieced it together as World War II went on, and then put in a west side, I think was first,
yeah,
and then the east side. If you go out to Cessna Stadium right now, if you drive out there after the show, you'll see where the old Veterans Field mm-hmm. was. You can see where the break was and where the addition was put on to, when they had put 1969 dedication. But it was not until 1948, when Veterans Field was finished for the most part. There weren't any permanent stands around the ends. People set up on top of the berm. You can just visualize it now. Go back and look at pictures. But those two, the permanent structures in the east and west end, you can still see to this day. But there was, since we're getting ready for Veterans Day, I thought it was appropriate to read the words from the dedication of Veterans Field, dedicated as a living memorial in grateful appreciation of members of the armed forces from Sedgwick County who served our nation with honor and distinction in World War II. It was not dedicated till November of 1948. They played the University of Nevada. The nation's top passer came to visit Stan Heath. Don't ask how the game turned out. We'll let that one go. Instead, we will look at President W.M. Jardine, who said that this, it is especially proper today, we dedicate this stadium to those citizens who did not return from World War II as a permanent living tribute to their contribution in perpetuating our way of life. The university feels honored to have selected this site for this tribute. And this site for this tribute, Veterans Field. And it was called that until 1969, when, of course, now it is now Cessna Stadium. So on Veterans Day, we do remember our veterans, especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice. But if you go out, you can find the old configurations,
oh,
easy
yeah.
to see, of what was Veterans Field.
Good stuff, Mr. Holtis. We always appreciate it, and have a great call on Sunday, all right?
Thank you, Theodore, and kick to the clock.
Thank you, Mitch. And, of course, our Friday Chats with Mitch are brought to you by Farha Roofing and American Ag Credit.
825 now. Keep it here. Stephen 10 in the morning. We've got Bill Roy, editor of the Wichita Business Journal, coming up. Keep it here. Stephen 10.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.